Welcome, Covenant Grove. It's great to be
Covenant
here.
Welcome, Covenant Grove. Great to be here.
We exist as a church.
We exist as a church.
To help religious and irreligious people.
To help religious and irreligious people.
Transform into fully devoted followers of Jesus.
Transform into fully devoted followers of Jesus.
Not just thinking about following Jesus.
Not just thinking about following Jesus.
Not just planning one day in the future to follow Jesus.
Not just planning one day in the future to follow Jesus.
But like actually taking a step to follow Jesus. Am
but
I
like
right?
Actually taking a step to follow Jesus. Am I right? Come on, people. Jesus.
And our brother Jackson has demonstrated what that looks like. Give it up for Jackson.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, brother. All right, this is yours. This one's yours, Jacko. Thanks, man. It's our passion. And as summer ends and we launch into this new school year, we want to pause and we want to ask a question. Who do you want to be? Who do you want to be? Humans are incredibly moldable. We are incredibly adaptable creatures. Take a look at the hairstyles in America from the past 100 years. Which one do you want to be? We could do all these. Although, I kind of think on the men's side, it's a little inaccurate. I don't see any of the long beards. And, you know, if I could grow a long beard, I would. But I feel like there should be more beards in that picture. American culture is famous for giving people the opportunity to be who you want to be. Come to America, create the life you want. Create your identity. Follow your dreams. So who do you want to be this year? Which hairstyle are you inspired by? Do you want to be a successful person, a rich person, a popular person, a healthy person, a content person, a passionate person? Okay, time out. Jackson came up and we talked about following. And then now I'm saying, who do you want to be? What's the connection between following and who you want to be? Well, let's say you're a student at Enochs High School. Any Enochs students in the room right now, or any Enochs alum? I see some hands. Enochs alum here? Yeah. So let's say you're at Enochs High School and you're taking welding. Welding's a pretty good class. I was talking with Jaden at youth group on Wednesday night, and he's taking the most advanced welding course that they have. He's been doing this for 3 years now, and for 3 years, Jaden has been listening to the teacher's instructions. Jaden has been using the correct welding techniques to weld the metal. For 3 years, you could say that Jaden has been following his welding teacher's instruction, and he's becoming a welder. Because here's the truth. Who you follow impacts who you become. And our prayer at this church is that you become the type of person that Jesus is making you to be, the person he's created you to be. And this only happens when we follow him. And so let me tell you where we're heading with the sermon series this year. It's all about following Jesus. We're starting out today, and for the next couple weeks, we're going to unpack what it means to follow Jesus. We're spending the next few weeks on that. And then in September, we're going to take a look at something surprising that God does for us. He actually gives us his authority, the authority of King Jesus, to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is part of the Christian life. This is a huge deal. When you start following Jesus, pretty soon he'll be like, all right, come and lead with me, lead like me, go do it in my power. And then in October and November, we're going to look at the book of 1 and 2 Samuel. We're going to talk about stories of Hannah and Saul and King David. And these are stories that happened before Jesus came to earth, but they highlight what it means to wrestle with that living in authority and power of God. And then after we do that, we're going to start into Advent. Advent all the way through Easter, we're going to be looking at the Gospel of John. We're just going to dive into it, wrestle with what John is saying about who Jesus is and what his call is to follow. Each year at our church. We want to emphasize one gospel for the whole year. And so last year, we emphasized the gospel of Matthew. This year, we're talking about John. John's my favorite gospel, and I'm just really excited about going through this together. So that's where we're heading. If you have friends or neighbors who you think would benefit from following Jesus a little bit more in their life, I invite you to invite them to come check it out and explore this together. It's life-changing. So with that said, that picture painted, let's turn to the scriptures this morning. We're actually going to start in the Gospel of John. There's a profound story in John chapter 1 of Jesus calling people to follow him. So I'd like to invite Pamela up to read the scriptures. And as she comes up, you can grab a Bible. You'll want to have it open in front of you and turn to John chapter 1. If you grab one of the Bibles in the chairs, it's on page 882. And we're going to start in verse 35. Pamela, let me get you a mic. And if you're able, would you stand for the reading of God's word?
The following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples. As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and saw them following. "What do you want?" he asked them. They replied, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come and see," he said. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him the rest of the day. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John said and then followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas," which means Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Come, follow me." Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, "We have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." "Nazareth," exclaimed Nathanael. "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" "Come and see for yourself," Philip replied. As they approached, Jesus said, "Now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity." "How do you know about me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus replied, "I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you." Then Nathanael exclaimed, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." Jesus asked him, "Do you believe this just because I told you I have seen you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this." Then he said, "I tell you the truth. You will all see heaven open and the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man, the one who is the stairway between heaven and earth." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. And would you pray with me? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you for the words that Pamela just read to us. Thank you for the attention that you give each person. Thank you for the understanding you have of each story and each life, and the invitation to take a next step following you. And I pray as we listen to this, as we soak into the scripture, as we wrestle with what it's saying, would you help us to respond in a way that changes our life? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 This is a dynamic passage. There is lots here. And I want to point out several things along the way. In my ideal world, what's going to happen this morning is, as I point things out in this passage, you'll take notes, write them down, and then you'll take that piece of paper and then you'll tape it up onto your fridge at home. And if you're taking notes on your cell phone, then you take your cell phone and you tape it up on your fridge at home. And so that it can remind you and you can reflect on it and you can think about it throughout this entire year as you follow Jesus. In fact, I want to make a deal with you. If after we get through the Gospel of John, after Easter, you show me that piece of paper, your notes, I'll take you out to lunch. Every single one who shows me that. It might be Costco hot dogs. But we'll take you out to lunch. I don't know, there's a loophole with this phone. You could schedule an email right now to send it in like April. And that's kind of bending the system. But you know what I'm saying. We'll make a deal, all right? We want to keep these points in front of us this year. So keep your Bibles open, and let's go through this together. First observation I have is that following Jesus means not following others. Verse 35. The following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples. John is John the Baptist. John is a revolutionary, very dynamic, and he has been setting this nation's soul on fire, excited for what's to come. John the Baptist has two of his disciples. Disciples are people who do what Jackson did. They follow. They're in step. As Jesus was walking by, John looked at him, Jesus, and declared, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Following Jesus means not following others. These two people were passionate about John and the truth that John has been preaching. But in order to follow Jesus, this is not revolutionary, but wow, it's important. In order to follow Jesus, they had to stop following John. Think about this. They've been committed to John. Their identity has been shaped by John. They're committed to him. But then here's this word in verse 36. The word is look. Some translations translate it behold. And for those of you who have excellent memories, you'll remember that 50 weeks ago, on September 7th, I preached a sermon about the word behold. I had to look it up. Behold is a word that Scripture uses to say, don't miss this. Pay special attention. If you miss this, you're going to miss something big. It gets our attention. And there's something important God doesn't want us to miss. In this verse, it's, don't miss that Jesus is different from all other influential voices. Don't miss that. You could miss it. It's easy to miss some of these things because we kind of grow up with an idea of who Jesus is, or we're used to it, or our grandma took us and then we stopped going to church, and I don't know. But don't miss this. Despite what you think or your experience has been, Jesus is different than all other influential voices. And when you see Jesus, when you behold him, when you catch the vision for who Jesus is and how your life can be transformed for the better, you stop following the other things. You stop following them and you start following like those two disciples did that day. Now, this might sound easy to do, but I'll be honest. It is not easy to stop following some things. Here's a list of things that you can't follow and at the same time follow Jesus. You can't follow Jesus and follow the advertisements driven by money, the advertisements that promise health and happiness if only you buy the product. You can't follow Jesus and abandon relationships lightly. The advice to end a relationship without forgiveness, without grace, without working hard at it. You can't follow Jesus and have a me-focused life. This lifestyle seeking your own comfort, your own pursuit of getting people to serve you. You can't have Jesus and follow a life of addiction and harm, the thought patterns that continue to spiral us down into self-soothing, self-harm that are so difficult to get rid of. You can't follow Jesus and follow a path of scorn, derision, and shaming. That aggressive lifestyle of putting people down, berating others, of thinking people are idiots, of stewing on that. All of these things, they're going to take you in the opposite direction that Jesus is going. And if you want to take a step away from these things, Jesus is going to help you follow him. And these things will diminish in your life. So to everyone here who wants to follow Jesus a little bit more, the question you have to ask throughout your life, throughout your week, and throughout this sermon is, are you following Jesus or are you following something else? And don't get me wrong, this is something that I have to ask myself all the time as well. Next verse. Verse 38, I observe that following Jesus means asking for more. Verse 38. Jesus looked around, and he saw them following. What do you want? He asked them. And they replied, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? I love their request. Like, they have no idea that they are talking to the God who created the universe, the God who can do anything he wants, the God who has just blessing to give on them. They are clueless that he is going to transform their life, lives so deeply and profoundly. Their whole existence is going to be filled with love. It's going to become filled with joy and peace as he gets filled with the Holy Spirit. They have no idea. And they're simply and honestly asking for just a little bit more of Jesus. Jesus, where are you staying? And I wonder if there was a sparkle of delight in Jesus' eye when he said, what do you want? And I wonder if their voices were filled with hope when they just asked a question to spend a little more time with him. Where are you staying? And then these life-changing words, come and see. Next observation. Following Jesus means orienting your life around him. Verse 39. Come and see, he said. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying. And they remained with him the rest of the day. Wow. Wouldn't that be a joy? Let me tell you a sad story about divorce. Some friends of mine in the town I lived in before we moved here are getting a divorce, and they've been together about 5.5 years. And I understand that there are times, legitimate reasons to get divorced sometimes, and the Bible talks about those too. But divorce is always painful. And I was talking with them both on the phone separately this week and trying to encourage them, and they're not followers of Jesus at all. They don't believe in God, and they aren't tapped into the Holy Spirit's life leading them into forgiveness and grace. And as I talked with them, the reasons they're getting divorced are like, well, she said this and that hurt my feelings, and I said that thing back and it was mean, and that just kind of spiraled. And I'm listening to them and I'm like, wow, I think they don't need to get, they could work this out, you know. As part of a church, we try to work these things out, as painful as they are. And then I was talking with one of them, and they started talking about the pain of their upbringing, and it was a painful upbringing. And they were weeping on the phone, and I'm on my phone, and I'm walking down the street in my neighborhood talking with them, and I'm just kind of praying and silently for them. And they're just like, and what happened now has triggered that memory in the past, and they're just like, there's no space for them to turn towards each other. And I talked about Jesus as much as I could, but they're not, that's not a thing they're open to. And I just think, wow. Orienting your life, for them to orient their life around Jesus would bring so much peace into their heartache right now. It's life transformative. My heart is broken for them. If you're a follower of Jesus, you know how this works. You know that Jesus went to the cross so that we could be forgiven. He went to the cross to forgive our sins. He entered into the full pain of the world so that our sins could be forgiven. And now he leads all followers to forgive other people, which is incredible. We can't forgive on our own. My friends, they can't actually forgive on their own. I can't forgive on my own. On our own, we cling too tightly to our hurt and to our self-protection. But Jesus gently offers to reorient our lives. No longer around our hurt, but around his sacrificial love. And as our lives get oriented around His forgiveness and His love, we're able to extend and receive forgiveness ourselves. My wife and I, we've been married for 20 years, and that means that we've had plenty of opportunities to extend and receive forgiveness. And I am grateful. Thank you, Elisa. Thank you, Jesus, for the way He works in us. It is hard work, this work of forgiveness. These first disciples, they're leaving who they used to follow, and they're asking for more. And now they are spending the day together with Jesus, regardless of what has happened in the past in their lives, regardless if they've been divorced in their lives. In a room this large, there's many of us who have been divorced, and for all sorts of reasons. And no matter what, even for my friends, even for you, if you turn to Jesus, He's going to fill you with His love and His grace and forgiveness and care in this moment, in your pain. It's worth taking that baby step and following Him. Next observation. Following Jesus means letting Him reshape you. Verse 40. Read with me in verse 40. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John said and then followed Jesus. Verse 41. Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. And then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas," which means Peter. When Peter takes his step towards Jesus, Jesus gives Peter a new name. And with that new name, sets him on a path to a new identity. The name Simon comes from the same Hebrew word as Shema. Shema is a famous Hebrew word to hear, to listen. Simon, listen. You are now Peter, rock. Jesus is reshaping Peter into a solid, steadfast, persistent, tenacious follower of Jesus. That's what the world needs. Jesus is reshaping some of us into solid, steadfast, persistent, tenacious followers of Jesus. You know, last week I sat down with Jackson and Sierra, and we talked about this passage. Jackson pointed out that when we step towards Jesus in faith, Jesus shapes us into a new creation. Jackson quoted 2 Corinthians 5:17, which says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold," there's that word, "behold, the new has come." That's a verse to memorize, to get deep in our hearts. No matter what has happened in your life, no matter what you're going through now, God has new creation work to do. So after that conversation, I was praying with our intern, Ty, about this sermon later on in the week. And as Ty was praying, these two words came to mind about what I might say here. Because there's a lot to say about the old creation, the old way of life. You could say just tons of stuff. And two things came to mind. And I want to share a few comments about both of these things. What came to mind were insecurity and abuse. As we follow Jesus, He's got new creation work to do with insecurity in our hearts and abuse in our lives. Insecurity first. I want to read to you a poem that I read once. It's a poem about insecurity. "The whole world suffers the loss of people's contributions when insecurity wins. Humankind never sees their masterpieces. Ears never hear their unwritten symphonies. Insecurity is the reason there are singers who do not sing and writers who do not write. Insecurity visits everyone. I fight it every day, so do you. Insecurity lies. It always lies. It only lies. Insecurity is a bully. Insecurity doesn't care or empathize. It is always damaging, depressing, and disapproving. Insecurity seeks to drop us down a level, never lift us up to a higher rung. It always weakens and never empowers. Insecurity is evil. It cannot be banished by medication. It is the foe within. Insecurity is not defeated by a great relationship, financial success, popularity, beauty, power, or prestige. Only Jesus can drive it out. Insecurity runs scared when we become the people we are meant to be and do what we are created to do. Imagine what would happen when insecurity flees. Alcohol companies will dry up. Drug trafficking will halt. Self-help books will become history. Imagine what wonderful productions will walk across life's stage. What great risks will be taken. What fantastic strides forward. Amen. This was written by a man named Jim Malloy out of the depths of one of his nervous breakdowns and crashes over insecurity. Following Jesus sets us on a path out of insecurity. You know, at the start of Jesus' ministry, recorded in Matthew chapter 3, right before Jesus goes to take great risks, right before he goes to take great risks to teach the world and love the world and die for the world, the heavens part and the God the Father's voice booms from heaven and says, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." That's security. And at the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, he says that just as the Father sent me, in the same way as the Father sent me, think, beloved, I am sending you, which means that you are God's beloved son. You are God's beloved daughter. That's security. And we go through moments in life where it's as if we're malformed by our insecurity. And we need God. We need God to come up to us. Here's how I want to describe it. Mark, can you stand up for a second? It's as if Mark is Jesus and Mark comes up to me and just holds me. That's security. Thanks, Mark. That's security that God offers to us as we follow him. Okay, now abuse. Many of us, perhaps most of us, have experienced this, and we overflow with pain. There's emotional abuse, sexual abuse, psychological, financial, verbal abuse, physical abuse, spiritual abuse. And the violence of abuse done to us from people that we love and trust is like a volcanic eruption in our life that burns our hearts and covers our lives with stone. Abuse is so personal, it's so personal, and so terrible, and so deep. It needs to be worked through over time and quiet conversation, not in a big room like this. But I promise you that Jesus wants to walk with you into recovery. He wants to walk with you into recovery. I just have a couple next steps to suggest to you on a slide behind me. The first one is, when you realize that you've experienced abuse, we'll get there. Talk with someone trained. Talk with a pastor. Talk with a counselor. Talk with a friend who knows how to listen and not fix and not just give you easy answers and quick fixes, but who's going to listen and help you process and help you encounter Jesus. And then head to our denomination's website, covechurch.org, and those letters are LMDJ. Stands for Love, Mercy, Do Justice. And there's a few resources about abuse on that page. And then the third one is to take a look at Mending the Soul. This is something I came across recently. Here's the Mending the Soul website. It's not part of our denomination, but a lot of people have gone through it. And Mending the Soul is about reclaiming healing, embracing hope, and walking in freedom. And I hopped on this website and watched some of the testimony videos, and wow. People go through awful things. And Jesus is doing amazing things to help us take steps of recovery. So I would invite you to hop on Mending the Soul's website and just watch a video or two and consider. They have groups all over the nation. I think the nearest one to here is in Lathrop, and they have some online gatherings, and I recommend it. It is not okay that you experienced abuse in your life. It is not okay that you're experiencing it now. And Jesus meets you there and helps you take the next step. As we step towards Jesus in our insecurity and our abuse, he reshapes us into people filled with the fruit of the Spirit, filled with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. I want those things in my life. I want my life to be marked by those things. Do you want your life marked by the Holy Spirit? Dear Jesus, I pray right now for all of us here that you would shape us and reshape us. Make us whole, Lord. Help us to recover and fill us with the best possible life. Amen. Okay, just a couple more. Verse 43. Here's my observation. This one is so simple. It's so innocent. Following Jesus means responding to him. Responding to him finding you and calling you. Verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and he said to him, "Come, follow me." There are times when Jesus pursues you, like God did with Eve and Adam in the garden when he asked, "Where are you?" Jesus comes to us, finds us, and says, "Come follow me. Where I will take you is better than where you are right now." If you're here today and you do not yet follow Jesus, you simply have to respond with a yes to where Jesus is calling you. Respond with a simple yes and take that next step. Next observation. Following Jesus means submitting to heart surgery. Verse 44. Verse 44. Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, "We have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." "Nazareth," Nathanael exclaimed. "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" "Come and see for yourself," Philip replied. As they approached, Jesus said, "Now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity." "How do you know about me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus replied, "I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you." And then Nathanael exclaimed, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Kings." How many other people did Jesus tell that he saw them somewhere before they met? None. Just Nathanael. How many people did Jesus praise for being true Israelites? None. Just Nathanael. And very few other people in Scripture come with such prejudice as Nathanael. Nazareth? Yuck. There's something in Nathanael's heart that needs to be cut out, that Jesus wants to deal with. There is something in the way that Jesus speaks to Nathanael that opens up his heart to long for the life Jesus offers. "You are," Nathanael says, "you are the King of Israel." Hebrews 4:12 says this: the word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword. The word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword. The sword that he has in mind is a short sword, two-edged. It's used for close hand-to-hand combat. It's not a spear. It's not a javelin from a distance. It's an up-close. It's a personal. It's a painfully intimate weapon. The word of God is like that. It's like a scalpel. And when you follow Jesus, he will speak heart surgery words to you, cutting away your pride, cutting away my pride, making our hearts beat in worship of the God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Who signs up for heart surgery? The people who know they need it. Their lives are going to be changed. And finally, last observation, following Jesus means experiencing life like never before. Verse 50, Jesus asked him, "Do you believe this just because I told you I had seen you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this." And then Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. You will see heaven open and the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man, the one who is the stairway between heaven and earth." You're going to experience life like never before. I was talking with Sierra and Jackson about this. Sierra said something very profound. She said this. She said, you don't have to know everything before following Jesus. You come to him, you get to know him, and you let him reveal who he is to you. Slowly, over time, in the right pace, you can trust Jesus. Jackson pointed this out. He said, they don't know what's going to happen. But he tells them they're going to see greater things than this. Strap in. Jesus shows them miracles. He teaches them life-changing truths about God. Jesus dies on the cross and is resurrected. Strap in. Jesus says outlandish things. Like he says in John 15:5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. They're following Jesus and he says this. You know, in my house, some of us like Dude Perfect. Dude Perfect, these trick shot YouTubers. And imagine, we follow them, and we're anticipating the next release of their latest video. Imagine if the next video that comes out in just 2 weeks, they say, hey, internet audience, if you remain in us, we're going to remain in you. But if you don't, you can do nothing. What? That's bizarre. But Jesus said it, and Jesus means it. Strap in. Buckle up. On Thursday, my wife, Elisa, went with my boys to pick up our daughter from Enoch's High School. They were a little early, and so they stopped at Mary Grogan Park, where this amazing play structure is open. And it's super fun to be there. Well, at the same park was a little neighbor kid named Bo. And Bo is the cutest. And he loves playing with my kids. And they're out there, and he's like this big, and they're playing games. And they're when Bo saw my boys, he was like, Caleb, Peter! And he ran to them, just full of delight. And Bo followed them all around this play structure, just having a wonderful time. They went all the way to the top. Bo's wife told my wife, he never goes up that high. He's too scared to go up that high. And when I heard that, I asked her just yesterday, I was like, hey, could I tell this story about your son? Because when you follow Jesus, he will take you places that you don't go on your own. He will change your life, and what you'll experience will take your breath away. What delight. Friends, we exist to help. We exist to transform religious people who do all the Christian-y things and irreligious people who don't do all the Christian-y things into fully devoted, all in, going for it, giving our all, followers of Jesus Christ. Whether you've been following Jesus for your whole life, but you're facing new challenges that are testing your faith today, or you're hearing about Jesus for the very first time, what's your next step? What's your next step? Worship team, why don't you come on up? You know, we believe that the Holy Spirit speaks to us through the singing, through the scriptures and the word. And so what we want to do is just take a minute to be silent, to quiet our hearts. It might feel like a long time, but we just want to give space for the Spirit to name the things he wants us to hear today. So would you just settle in with me for a minute, and we'll quietly listen. Jesus, we ask that you bless us today and this week as we take steps to follow you. Thank you.